This class, hello, yeah, that works. I pitched this class and actually my next one also to Phil at the end of Banjo Camp last year. I said I really want to teach these two classes. And they're both about Earl Scruggs, and they're kind of bookend classes. This class is about the forward roll and about how Earl used it. And the next class I'm teaching, which is tomorrow, is on ground speed, which is all about the backward roll. So this is, I only have 15 handouts for that one too, so maybe I'll try to get some more made. What I wanted to go through, and the reason I really felt so strongly about teaching this class, is that Earl was a master at being able to create a melody out of what seemed like just a very rigid sequence of fingers. So he would play something and it would sound like it would sound like Pike County Breakdown, or it would sound like Lonesome Road Blues. But when you look at the tablature in the Scruggs book, or you just listen to it, and you realize all he's doing is T-I-M, 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 T-I-M. And somehow out of that, he gets a melody to work. And as I've worked through my own arrangements, and everyone goes through stages when they're improvising and when they're arranging tunes, I find myself more and more coming back to that idea of being able to pull a melody just out of a forward roll, and I wanted to use that as the foundation for a class here. So let me split these up and give people on both ends of the room an equal chance of actually getting a handout. It's two pages stapled together. So actually, could you pass one of those back? I think I'm actually going to need one myself. I'll give this to somebody at the end of the class. I'll need it for now. And I have the master with me too, so if somebody can catch me in the dining hall, I'll give somebody else one more copy. So what I wanted to do was start by talking about a few tunes that Scruggs did that almost everybody plays, but that in certain parts people generally play wrong, because what they hear is a melody and they think, okay, it's got to be this way, and they sort of force the melody out of changing fingers. We're actually just coming straight out of the Scruggs rolls, and I'm actually going to jump down to Lonesome Road Blues, which is the bottom half of the front page of this handout. And how many of you play Lonesome Road Blues? It's kind of a staple. I'm going down a long road feeling bad. Here's the spot that I tabbed out in particular. You hear what he's doing with that choke, with that 10th fret choke on the second string, and people will do all kinds of things to get that rhythm. But just to show you, if you got a handout close by. What I've done in here is highlighted in yellow the places where these sort of trick forward rolls happen. So about three measures in on Lonesome Road Blues, he does a choke, and there is one thing you should understand. You think of forward rolls as T-I-M, 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 as that sequence that way around the circle of the fingers. Earl, more often than not, when he had the choice to play the thumb on any string except the first, he would play the thumb. So a lot of his forward rolls we'll, instead of starting IM, IMT, IMT, we'll start with a thumb. It'll be TM, TMT, IMT, IMT. Once the roll is going, he can't get back to the second string with the thumb. But he often has the chance to start the roll with the thumb, and it's as a rule, this is something you want to do. If you have a choice of playing the thumb or index on a particular string, use the thumb almost every time. And that has nothing to do with the forward roll, but it's an important thing to know, think about. So in this case, he's doing just that. He's doing that choke with an index, and then he's starting the forward roll on the next choke on the thumb. So he's doing thumb middle. So if you already play this, play through this and then tell me if this is the way you play it. So do that for... I'm actually going to ask you all to do these rolls because there's nothing like feeling them go by to really understand what's going on. So you do the choke and then start with your thumb on the second string and... Everything else... After that first... Hold on a second. Let me just talk through and then you can play. Other than that first thumb note at the beginning of the forward roll, every thumb note's a fifth string, every index note's a second string, every middle obviously is a first. And just go through it, play that choke, do the choke over again each time. So do the choke, and while the other notes are sounding, while the middle finger and thumb notes are sounding, relax the choke so that the next time you hit the second string, you're ready to choke it again. Do that all the way through, and you notice on this tab that the last choke is not that choke. The next to last choke, when you choke it, leave it there. And then when you play it again, choke it down. Just release it, but release it while it's sounding. And let me play it slow, and then I want you guys to just take a couple of minutes and work on this. That wasn't it. That was the drop. When I dropped the banjo, that note got stuck in there. And so the very last note of this is it's still in the forward roll. You still haven't changed the right hand, but you're landing back on the 8th fret, index finger, 2nd string. So, yeah. So give that a try. Just play it. We'll have Bedlam in here for a couple of minutes. Do you have access to you have a tab? So everyone, sir, you want to try this once together? I can't imagine this many banjos just playing a lick. Is this a cool sounding lick or what? If all you know about the tune at this point is that one lick, just we'll do it slow, but come in on that lick, and I just want to hear the orchestra on this. I'm going to do it. I'll count it in, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then start playing it. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1... Bedlam, that's okay. You guys can play this. That was an experiment. Like I said, this is the first time I've taught this class. I don't know what works yet and what doesn't, but that was a lesson for me. cool. But go back and play this. And one thing that you also want to know about these, and this is, I think, part of the reason Scruggs did what he did with these. Part of it was that it sounds so good. Part of it is that when you start settling into a constant forward or backward roll, you can stop thinking about your right hand. You don't have to think about the pattern you're going to play. You know what finger you're going to use next. And so what that lets you do is, first of all, concentrate on doing cool stuff with your left. But it also lets you play really fast. Because there's a certain amount of time that it takes to turn a roll around, which isn't a big deal when you're playing, you know, slow medium. But when you really start cranking a tune, to do, yeah. Yeah, it's just so much easier to play that, to play simple rolls. And if you can get good sounding rhythms out of simple rolls, that's heaven right there. So there's another place in here, and that's on the next line. The measures are numbered. And in measures, the second half of measure 24 and into measure 25. 24 starts with a kind of a Foggy Mountain breakdown. Right. But after that, you notice that if you start, you got that one repeat. You go index, middle, thumb, middle, and from there on, there all the way through the next measure is another forward roll. Right, that's all forward roll. The big thing that happens there that didn't happen the first. Hold up, I've got to be able to. I can't talk over banjos. I'm sorry, The big thing that happens in that roll that didn't happen in the first one is that your thumb's traveling down and getting a low note by playing the third string. So it doesn't sound like, it doesn't sound quite as consistent as that the roll at the beginning. But all forward roll except for the first two notes. Right, so let me give you a minute to play that one. Just play measures 24 and 25. I'll probably give you progressively less time to play each of these, just because first of all, because we'll run out of time, but also so that you can, I think you start to catch on after a while. But what you hear, he's actually getting a melody out of a varied melody out of that forward roll, and again, it's the efficiency of. You can actually, if you, yeah, I guess it's cheating to say that's a forward roll all the way through, but that, after those first two notes, there you are. So did you hear it in that one too? And it, you just get a bunch of these, and what goes from there? And what I did, I took three of three tunes where Earl really does this strongly. And I added a fourth tune that's really from Eric Weisberg, but illustrates the same point. Pike County Breakdown How many people here play Pike County Breakdown? It's a little bit less common as Krug students go. But let me play it through and see if you can recognize where the forward roll is. Okay. Now, someone want to either sing or play a melody that you heard? How many of you have just literally never heard Pike County Breakdown before just now? Okay, a bunch. Okay. I want one of you to either play it play the melody on the banjo or sing the melody if you want. You can all turn me down if you want. That's fine. I'll do it if no one else wants to. But let me play this one more time now that you're warned. Forward roll is not in the ending. But here's you listen through that, and what you should be hearing is this melody. Okay, now you've heard the melody, so... You hear it that time? Okay, that tune is 90% forward roll. It doesn't sound like it, and a lot of people when they play it will do odd things to sort of force that melody out. That single string thing, which I think is probably the only time Earl actually recorded anything in that style, but they'll put in an extra one just because to bring the melody out. But so what he's doing in that passage? There's the first forward roll. Starts here. Ends there. So the melody is all index finger, except there. Then it moves to the thumb. Here's one reason this strategy works. If you're playing a melody, which if you're playing Scrugg style, you're pretty much always playing a melody. You're looking at melodies that start that go generally where someone like Lester, where a male singer will sing from low D to high D. Open fourth string to open first string. So your thumb's got the fourth string covered, and the third string obviously covered also. And it can come up and get the second string, but when it's doing that, it's pretty much just acting as a substitute for the index finger. The index finger gets the second string and gets everything starting from B, from the open string. You have a problem of this of the high D being on the first string, but you can also move that note to the second string, fretted at the third, and that gives you the entire range of the melody of a lot of tunes on the second, third, and fourth strings only. And when you've got that, you can just start playing forward rolls, and every time you pass, every time you do that cycle of TIM, you can hit a melody note on either the thumb or on the index, and then just let the middle finger just play D's, kind of like another drone string. Does that make sense? So when you're playing a tune, If you break a tune down, when you start playing a tune, particularly something Scrugs, The first thing you should do is find the melody in the tune. And just find it and play the melody notes only. And play them only on the second, third, and fourth strings. So if you're playing Fireball Nail, right? There's the melody, and it's all index and thumb notes, and all on the second, third, and fourth string. So when you play it, I'm just hanging out here on that melody note, which is the open third string. So first two melody notes are thumb, go into that forward roll, and you just keep hitting that that open G on the third string to sustain it. Okay, melody goes to B, just shift your index finger to the second string. Same roll. Yeah. Right, and there you're going to get that on the third string. Well, the roll is bringing your thumb around to that particular note. So thumb, third string, meet each other. You get that piece of the melody. And from that point on, it goes to a little bit of alternating thumb. But this is a way to understand the way Scruggs tunes are structured. Back to the forward roll. Back to the forward roll. Back to the forward roll. Another forward roll. And this roll. Just kind of playing the melody. Yes.
Just a quick question. So you're really saying that, so you don't have to emphasize with that index finger or thumb the melody because it's already there.
Emphasize by playing it louder.
Exactly. So that you actually, hear that. I mean, it's something I'm doing very deliberately because I can't hear it otherwise.
No, I'm not saying that at all. Actually, that's a really good point. And I was heading in that general direction with the high D note. But everywhere, you have to remember when you're playing any banjo tune that the melody is running through your head while you're playing. You know what the melody is of what you're trying to play. Somebody listening to you doesn't necessarily know what that melody is. Like when I played Pike County Breakdown, it for a lot of you it didn't make sense until I sang through the melody first, and then I played it again and you heard the melody. And I was sort of deliberately keeping all the notes even when I did that. But when you're playing for real, when you're playing in front of people or even, good thing to do when you're practicing just on your own, it is good to give the melody notes just a little bit of extra energy. So that, particularly when you're playing fast, banjo notes just come at you really fast. It's impossible at high speed to understand every note you hear if you're listening to somebody, listen to Jens Kruger play, perfect example. Listen to Earl play Ground Speed. I'll get into that one tomorrow. But if you play this roll, I'm just playing a forward roll on three strings. What note am I playing? You can't tell. But if I... All of a sudden your ear goes to that fifth string note. Or... And essentially, when you're playing a whole string of notes, and the forward roll is a great example of this, you're humming. What the banjo is doing is just humming a tone, and that tone isn't necessarily the melody note. So, in order to pull the melody, you're humming a chord essentially, and in order to pull the melody note out of that chord, you're going to have to use dynamics. You're going to have to pull that. Can I take 5 minutes and give you all an exercise? This will help your forward roll, but it's not really about the forward roll. I use this in a class that I'm not teaching here this weekend. there's an exercise that I give everybody. This is like week one for my beginning students, called the neutral role. Those of you who are in here who have taken lessons from me, you're very familiar with the neutral role. The neutral role is just the role I was just playing. It's thumb fifth, index third, middle first. And you just set that up and you just start playing it. And the first rule of good banjo playing is that every note you play should be the same time length and the same volume. So when you play this, nothing in particular comes out. And so this is neutral role step one. And it echoes the fact that when you're playing, your job as you're playing any reasonably fast banjo tune is to lay down a carpet of notes that the melody is just going to kind of stick out of, like tacks. You know, you step on a tack, you know it. Pete Seeger, if any of you saw the banjo, Give Me the Banjo, a documentary that aired last year on PBS. Pete Seeger had a great quote. He said, you go out at night, and there are thousands of stars, but you can always tell the constellations. You can always recognize the constellations, and that's really what you're trying to do. Whether it's forward rolls, whatever the pattern you're playing, that pattern is designed to deliver a chord, to give you places to put the melody notes, and then it's up to you when you're doing the roll and doing the melody notes, figure out where you want the melody notes to go. So neutral roll step one. Just two more minutes of this, and then back to the forward roll. After you've got this, let me just play this. The next thing, let me do this, and I just want to demonstrate, and then maybe I'll give you. We'll try to. This may actually work as a group exercise. So, here we are. Now the next step is you want to pull out a note. It could be any of them, because you're going to do this with all three fingers. So let's say you want to pull out your index finger. Just gradually make that note change without anything else changing. The other notes are the same volume. You haven't sped up. You haven't slowed down. Put it back in the roll. Okay, now that's a Seinfeld roll. It's not about anything. Right? Do the same thing with your thumb. Put the thumb back in. Do the same thing with the end with the middle finger. And that's the exercise. Do that for about 5 minutes. Just to work on getting your fingers to have that level of control of dynamics. And what you'll find, if you can do that mechanically, you just do that with that kind of conscious thought, when you play a tune, you won't have to think about emphasizing the melody notes. Because everybody here, when you're playing a song, you should be thinking about the melody of the song, right? And when you're doing that, when those melody notes go by, you're just going to emphasize them naturally. You're not even going to have to think about it. And that's what makes that's what makes this stuff work. So what's happening in Pike County Breakdown? We're back to the forward. Oh, we're going to try this. So I'll set this up. And what I want you to do is come in on the thumb when I tell you to, because this will only work if we're all playing the same string at the same time. So we'll do it about this tempo. Just come in with me. I won't count. Just start. I'm going to emphasize on the fifth string, so you know where to go. Okay, everybody in the wants to be? Okay, now switch the emphasis to your middle finger. doing this. Don't worry about playing together. Go back to your thumb. Don't slow down and don't change the speed. You hear the pitch of the room change. Go back to middle finger. Try middle. Try the index. So what we were doing there, we were actually simulating playing one person playing a banjo really, really fast. Right, because you just heard don't.
It's a big constellation.
Right, it's a big constellation. It's the darkest night sky you ever saw. And when I asked you to switch notes, what I heard, this worked for me because I'm in front of all of you, I guess, but hopefully it worked for you too because you're in the middle of it. It was like this cloud of G chords, and all of a sudden there was a note to listen to. And that's what happened when you play it, when you play a tune really fast with without emphasis. Okay, from here on. Okay, now the beginning and end of that, it was really easy to follow the melody because the melody was following the beat. The whole middle of the tune, you're playing forward rolls. But you don't really hear a melody because there are no rhythmic clues to tell you which notes are the melody. So I'll play the same tune. Easier to tell what was going on that time? In answer to your question, no, absolutely. Pull those melody notes out. And you'll know how to do it because you've been part of the world's biggest forward roll. So with Pike County Breakdown here, this is introducing this other technique that I was talking about, which is really in a real world situation when you're playing a tune, when you're learning a tune for the first time or arranging a tune for the first time. What's happening in Pike County Breakdown is something you really want to be is something you really want to pay attention to, because he's focused on the melody, but he's able to carry the melody out using nothing but forward rolls. That does, you know, that gets you the melody, but it does this other really cool thing. Putting the melody in that context, in the context of forward rolls, gives you control, roughly, more or less, of which beat the melody notes land on. But it doesn't give you complete control of that. You're playing these groups of three notes, but you're playing them to a tune that's doing what? It's going 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's the great paradox of bluegrass banjo, and it's what makes it sound so good. Is that what you're doing in a forward roll is you're naturally phrasing notes, and you're phrasing them in a lot of cases the way a singer would phrase notes. If you're not playing dead on the beat they were written on, you're playing them a half a beat early or a half a beat late, because that's where the roll delivers that note. And so this is really the most important thing that you have to get to when you're doing this stuff with forward rolls. You have to let the roll manage the tune. You have to let the roll kind of take over. And you're gonna play the melody notes, but the roll is gonna indicate where you're gonna play the melody notes. So when you play, right, this is actually a tune. The Pike County Breakdown is written off of a tune called Sweet Betsy from Pike. It was an old folk song. So it's half, And which is a waltz, by the way, so even worse.
Have you heard of Sweet Betsy from Pike, who crossed the white line?
And it goes, it just goes on like that, but you know, you square it.
Have you heard of Sweet Betsy from Pike?
And that's that phrase that gets forward wrong. And it, when you play, that's the sweet note.
Happy Sweet Betsy.
And because of where it is in the roll, because you're playing with your index finger, it's gonna play early. And so is that one. And it just happens. So what you're doing, you don't really need to look at how Pike County Breakdown breaks down. But you have to just be aware that this kind of thing is what you want to happen when you're playing. And this is why I say the longer I play, the more I kind of come back to forward rolls, because it's really cool to be surprised. And if you're surprised, imagine what your audience is feeling when these melodies come out and they're phrased so strangely. And I, on that note, how many of you know Randy Lynn Rad? Listen to Car Talk. It's the theme song of Car Talk. And it's got a melody line that's like a million bluegrass songs. I got to get Sweet Betsy from Pike out of my head now. Right. How many songs can you think of that go like that? And usually you do. There's a there's a million songs that do that. And so what do? You do this like Cripple Creek. You do this Cripple Creek alternating thumb roll. And to me, the alternating thumb roll is the enemy of good bluegrass banjo. I shudder at the thought that the first tune most people learn is Cripple Creek, because there is nothing about Cripple Creek that translates into what really is cool about bluegrass banjo. Because everything, here's the difference. You're playing this music, there are four beats to a measure. You're playing two notes for every beat. So you're counting one, two, three, four. You're playing one and two and three and four. Everybody good with that? So you play a forward roll, and every time you land on the same finger, you're playing a different part of the beat. Right? So if you play, I'll go back to the neutral roll just because it's easy to hear this. So I go one and two. One was my thumb, two was my middle. And so I'm back to the thumb, and it's an and note. And there's a sort of hierarchy, right? And some notes are more important than others in the beat. Nothing's less important than an and. So when you do this, and if you're playing the melody note with your thumb and it comes around a second time, the second time you play that melody, the first time you play the melody note, it's going to be on the downbeat of the measure. It's going to be the most important note. It's going to be obvious that it's important. The second time you play that same note, it's going to be on two and. Why? Why waste a melody note on two end? But that syncopation is, like I said, what singers do to make a note interesting. They'll spice it up by putting it on an offbeat. And so when you're playing forward rolls, that's what you're doing. You're splitting something that's going down, up, down, up, down, up, into down, up, up, down, up, up, down, up, up, down. And it's a really very powerful thing to do. It challenges people's musical expectations. So now look at the alternating thumb roll, right? Right, one and two and three and four and one and two and three and four. Everything you play is, every time you play the thumb, it's a number. Every time you play an index or a middle finger, it's an end. It's incredibly predictable. And so it doesn't go anywhere. Rhythmically, it doesn't do anything for you. That's what makes forward rolls so cool. So when you get to this... right? What's that all about? Where's the melody in that? There's the melody in that phrase. Okay, Scruggs hits that melody in Randy Lynn Redd, and partly, I think, just because he wants to play this tune insanely fast. He uses a forward roll, and he goes... Right? Hear the difference? Hear how much more interesting that sounds? As opposed to... Right, especially if you give that note a little, that B note a little kick.
That's the melody note. It sounds more like a drum.
It sounds like a drum. It sounds like the melody. It's like right. The neutral roll trick of bringing the melody note out by using dynamics. But now you're bringing out something more than the melody because that note's carrying more than just the melody. It's also carrying the rhythm. And where you're playing, right, every time. Music's about two things. People who've had classes with me know this, know I give this lecture too. 30 seconds. Two things in music. Tension. Thank you, that's all. Okay, maybe there's only one thing. Can you let me get away with that?
No.
Resolution. Right? And that's the best way, the shortest description of music I can give you is those two chords. D7 to G. Tension, resolution. So what you're doing with forward rolls is you're creating tension with the rhythm. What's tense rhythm? Tense rhythm is the melodies moving around from beat to beat unpredictably. You can't figure out a pattern. What's resolution? Right? The problem with Cripple Creek is it's all resolution. There's not a bit of tension rhythmically in that entire tune. And when you play that, that's all resolved. But when you do this, you could just feel that spring winding. Right, there's tension. Every time you hear that note, it surprises you. What happened at the end? That's resolution. Right, that feels nice and rhythmic. It's on the beat. Everything sounds good to you. So this is listen to every good bluegrass banjo solo, and you're going to hear this movement from tension to resolution, back to tension, back to resolution, until finally at the end of the song everything resolves. Go back to Fireball now. Tension, resolution, Murray Square. Tension, resolution, tension, resolution, tension. Right, I can stop narrating now. Right, you hear where that's happening. And the faster the tune goes, the more that just drags you in, because you once you stop being able to process each individual note, all you can do is ride the melody as a listener. And so you're listening to that melody get tense, resolve, tense, resolve, back like that. So this entire quote from Randy Lynn Redd that's on the third page of the handout. I did the handouts this way, by the way, so that you can take the relevant pages, separate these, and you won't have relevant things back to back and have to flip the paper. So this is page 3. It's actually the second page of the handout. It's got Randy Lynn Redd on the top, and you've got that. Actually three forward rolls in that quote. The one I highlighted is that first one that I just described. The right, that you come up to the C chord and he's tense again. And then the last one's got this, it's sort of not a four bones, it's got this one hammer-on in the middle of it. And it goes on from there. So when you listen to the song, well, that's Star Trek tuning. Yeah. It just, when you hear it fast, all you hear is that melody. The A part's all tense. It's all just this tense resolve. And then that's sure as, you know, the notes he's using are tense as anything. But rhythmically it's resolved, so he's even got tension going there. So let's move on to a tune that Earl didn't play, but should have. How late does this class go? It's 3:15. Anybody got? I don't have a schedule handy.
4:00.
Oh, even better. That's great. 4:45. Right, 4:00. That's right. Thank you. So this is actually an exercise that I give some students in some classes that I teach, and it really works to illustrate what's going on here. The tune Buffalo Gals fits this profile of a tune whose high note in the A part anyway is high D and low note is low D. So it's, well, okay, the high note is high E, but high E, by the way, you get it by fretting the first string at the second fret, but you can also get it by fretting the second string at the fifth fret. So you have all these choices for where you get notes. So Buffalo Gals, so that's just the A part of Buffalo Gals. And so you play that, and you see that you could play it all on the inside strings. So it's a candidate for this forward roll treatment. And the challenge that I give students is I say, play it, come up with a single forward roll, and get all the way through the whole tune. So all eighth notes, all TIM pattern, no breaks, no rests. See how far you can get through, and see if you can get it without sounding awkward. Because you can obviously, yeah. Right, that doesn't work. You want it to have the shape of the tune, and so I just want to work through a few phrases here and show you how this works. Because once you hear this, and once you start sensing it and feeling it on the melody, it's going to work for you for lots and lots of melodies. So there's the first thing you're doing is you're playing Buffalo, right? And you look for how you can play that note, and how you can actually make it work with the words of Buffalo Gals. And you listen to Buffalo Gals, and what's the first thing that happens in Buffalo? Right? Buffalo, those first two syllables are right next to each other. Buffalo. It's not buffalo or buffalo. Right. Those two are together. And they're both that note. They're both the open third string. So how do you play that note twice in a row in a forward roll? You fret it on the fourth string. And that's buffalo. That's buffa. And the thing to remember when you're doing this, when you're doing forward rolls, is not every note that you play can be the melody, right? As bluegrass banjo in general, you know, you're playing maybe one third of the notes you play are actually melody notes. The rest of them are just there to fill in and to play chords. So once you've got buffa, low is kind of unimportant. And so you just keep the forward roll going. Buffalo, buffalo. So first thing to recognize is that you can phrase two syllables. I think this is the one and only time I actually got to sit down and talk to Earl Scruggs. I asked him about this, and his answer was, I just try to play all the syllables. And it's really, I kind of walked away and thinking, okay, that really does make sense. Because you listen to the way tunes phrase, and it's like the way words phrase. Right? Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Buffa, together, won't you? Or gals, won't you come? Actually, the way it's sung a lot, buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight. You've got all these groupings of syllables. You can do that on the banjo. Buffa is one note, so you play them together. Low. Gals won't. This is another bit of serendipity that comes with forward rolls, is that you find that very often melody notes will jump like that. It'll be two consecutive notes in the same chord. And if the melody is going up, you just catch that as it goes by. So you look for those kind of moments of serendipity where everything works together. So now you've got buffalo, gals won't. You come. That's D-E. How are you going to do D-E? Forward roll, remember. Somebody give me a verbal tablature for this. Those two notes.
Second string 3, first string 2.
Right. And guess what? You're coming right off the thumb there. So that's your next forward roll. So now we've got buffalo, gals won't come out tonight. So buffalo, gals won't come out is all D. Let that, when that goes by, let that go by on the fretted second string in the open first. Now, tonight, melody drops back down to G, back down to B, open second string. You've just played your middle finger, so what's your next note going to be? It's got to be a thumb. You don't want, and it, you could play your thumb on the second string. The problem with that is if you want to keep a forward roll going, you've got two fingers now to fit onto one string. You've just played the second string with your thumb, index. So what? You play your index finger on the first string. What do you use your middle finger for? So that's not going to work. So buffalo gals. You could play your thumb on the fifth string and delay that note. So it sounds like this. Sorry. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Kind of works. Sounds a little strange, but remember that your thumb's got all this variety. So instead of playing thumb on the fifth string and getting melody note with your index, come down to the third string with your thumb and play that, you know, anything you can play on the on the second string, you can play in the third string, 3-4 frets higher. So you and you get the advantage of that note now being doubled, because tonight in the lyric is a long note. Buffalo Gals, why don't you come out tonight? Come out tonight. Right there, you take a breath there, and so your breath is another chord wrong that's focused on that B note. You're playing it twice. So here's what you got. And just to make that note more interesting, slide it. Jens, when he was here a few years ago, talked about activating notes. And it was a really cool concept. I always teach it, and I always give him credit for it, because I think he invented this. Although it's, you know, nobody who's lived in the last 150 years has actually invented anything in music, except maybe Bartok and Schoenberg. When you're playing, if you play a G chord. G chord's made up of three notes, and on banjo, it's, you've got three notes and plus two octaves of notes. Right? Those notes that make up the chord, Jens call them inactive notes because they don't go anywhere. Right? You play the G, you're done. Right? You got nothing more to say. But if you play. If you play a G and you play this note, or this is better, you play it. Right? Tension resolution, right? This is just another way of talking about tension and resolution. You got to resolve that. So you resolve it with a slide. That's why slides are there. And that's, again, it's something singers do. You can trace almost every cool thing Earl Scruggs does back to the singers, back to people he listened to and played with. So when you get to the come out tonight, it just is cooler to go like that. So now we've got a whole phrase. We've got come out tonight. All forward roll. So I'm gonna give you guys that's just what's written here on the third line of this page. So take a couple of minutes and just play through that, and think about where the melody notes are when you do it, and if you could do the emphasis, but at least know where it should be. I got nothing. I brought 15. They told me to make 10, so I made 15.
Do you tap the throat? Does it differ from what's in the throat?
I tried to make the Scruggs examples as close as I could. There's some things
so
in.
The tap is right here, the same as the Scruggs.
Yeah, there are a couple of places.
No, that's not right. That's
Come back to me here. Sorry. When you play this, when you go back to your room or somewhere and go through this, and I've got a tab here for the whole A part, and I'll go through a little bit more of it, but I wanted you to get into this while there was still a small enough fragment of the tune that there wasn't that much to think about. Think about how it phrases, and think about how the melody runs. And just try to hear Buffalo Gals in it. Let me play this slow. I'll try to stay as close to this as possible. But one advantage of downloading this handout from my site is that you can get it in tableted, and if you've got tableted format, if you've got tableted or TechView, which is actually free, you can play it and just watch the cursor go by as the notes play, and you can hear this even if it's not quite there in your own playing it, you can hear how it should sound. So. Got halfway through it because I didn't want to go too far out on thin ice. So there's one spot in there where the forward roll ends, and that's at the end of measure 44 going into 45. I skip a middle finger, but this is the other part of using a forward roll, is that you have to recognize when to stop, because it is possible and actually fairly easy to go deep enough into the roll where the rhythm, where this three-note rhythm becomes too obvious, and it doesn't really deliver vocal phrasing anymore. It just kind of delivers a three-note grouping, and it just doesn't have the sound that you want it from. So, give that a try and see what you think. And I sort of deliberately left off the B part, which goes, Buffalo Gals won't you come out tonight, come out tonight, come out tonight, Buffalo Gals won't you come out tonight, come out. That's the shape of the B part. And you can do the same thing. Yeah. I was faking that, but it was all forward roll, still, even though it was fake. So you can play around with it and see what you can get out of it. The versions that are nonstop forward roll beginning to end don't actually sound that good. You do it for the practice, not because you're ever going to play it that way. But the cool thing about it, how many of you have or have heard the Dueling Banjos album? Boy, it's amazing. That's like, when I started, that was the only banjo album anybody ever heard. You went from that to Earl Scruggs. And Eric, there's a version of Buffalo Gals on there. So, you know, check it out. You know, pull the track off of iTunes or buy the CD. Give Eric some royalties. But give royalties either way, actually. But he plays the tune. He plays it at that speed, and he tags it, and he just goes into it a million miles an hour, and he's doing exactly this. He's doing just this nonstop forward roll, which is what allows him to play the tune as fast as he's playing. But I caught him one year here, and I asked him about it. I said, why did you do this? You know, why did you have all these? Because there's a bunch of tunes on that album that are recorded slow and then fast. And he said when he was learning to play the banjo, he'd get all these Earl Scruggs records, all these Flatten Scruggs records, slow them down, pick them out note by note, and then gradually get them up to speed. He said when they did this album, which was in 61 or 62 with Marshall Brickman, was way before the movie, he said, I just figured I'd save people the trouble of slowing down the record. And so they did all these tunes slow, and you can learn them and then play them. So if you get the track, you can listen to the way Eric arranged the tune, and you get that forward roll feel, and everything works. So I've got one more one more handout. I didn't. When I asked what time the class ended, I was thinking, "Wow, we got loads of time." And in fact, no, we're almost done. Again, only 15 of these. So let somebody who didn't go home with the first one go home with this one, and we'll move through. What's that? Everything's on the site, and the recording will be on the site. You came in late, but the recording will be on the site after camp. You see what you missed. So what I did it again. I passed off my own copy, but that's okay. This is... This is one more example I want to give you. I got 5 minutes, but I'll try to fit this all in. This is from the tune Little Georgia Rose. Way down in the Blue Ridge Mountains, way down where the tall pines grow. And I took that phrase, down where the tall pines grow.
Down where the tall pines grow.
And I wanted to treat that with a forward roll. And the obvious first note is open first string. So what do? Way down. That note lasts forever. And so to sustain it and to make it interesting, just play a forward roll starting on the second string. And by the way, here's the other cool thing about emphasis. You play that roll, and it's the beginning of that. It's somewhere else. It's at the beginning of that. Just classic. This is how you sustain a high D note on the banjo. But you do it with a forward roll, and what you're getting is two out of every three notes are D. So it's pretty obvious, even without doing a lot of work, it's pretty obvious where the important note is, right? But you're also, like I said, you out of the rolls, you get not only the melody, but you also get rhythm. And here you're getting da-da, 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 da, right? Is that, so it's even more obvious. It's even a stronger rhythmic statement than doing... right? Right? It's... You can do it with the first string fretted and then the open fifth, same thing. You're carrying that rhythm. So down, you're not only sustaining the note, but you're making it rhythmically interesting. You're creating that tension. And now tall pines, right? Think like a singer. Tall pines. There's a slur in it. Even if you sing it, you're gonna come in not on B, which is the note that was written, but you can come in on B flat and work through E, or through A rather. Right, that's the phrase. Way down where the tall pines grow. And how do you do that? Do that with a pull off. And the pull off, when you add a middle finger in there, the pull off becomes a triplet. So you do this with a forward roll, and you're starting with your index finger on the downbeat of that measure, which also is the word down. At some point, you want to get that pull off in, and there are three ways to get that pull off. One way is you come off the fifth string with your thumb. Yeah. Right? Right?
Wait, so pull off with the thumb and then the index?
Well, here's the one way to do it is with the thumb. And when you do that, you're going to find that the timing of it's a little awkward. Right, so you play around with it. You hear this. You hear that it's not really where you want that note to be. So you can do it with your index finger. Well, what you do is you leave your middle finger on the first string, leave your thumb on the fifth. Just move your index finger from the second string where it's sustaining the D to get that pull up. But there are two places you can do that make musical sense. You can do it. Give me the room for a second because we don't have a lot of time. Right, you're rushing the note. Why are you rushing it? Well, if you're a singer, you say, gee, it would be cool to kind of put that note a little ahead. If you're a banjo player, it's because that's where your index finger hits. That's the beat it hits on. Like an interview I saw with Lorne Michaels once, he said, you might think we put Saturday Night Live on when we do because it's ready, but actually we put it on because it's 11:30. So here it is. So you play it and see how it sounds, and if you like the way that sounds, it works. But just like you can place that note early, you can also place it late. So what you can do is hold that D one more forward roll. Way down where the palm vines grow. Right, so two ways of doing it. Way down where the palm vines grow. Or way down where the palm vines grow. Right, the only difference was which forward roll I moved to the third string on. And it gives you two very different rhythmic statements of the same line. So here's what I want you to do. This is, you know, gotta have an ending for, and I could just do this. And I could just do that and send you away, but that would be unfulfilling. More for you than for me, but that's okay. What I want you to do is go home and take tunes, melodies that you're very familiar with. Bluegrass songs you play in jam sessions or things you play when you first pick up the banjo that have a really strong melody component. And honestly, any tune you play should have a strong melody component. You know, even Foggy Mountain Breakdown. You can sing any tune you can play. Even the ones that just seem abstract. So take that melody and just play around with it this way and see how far in you can get with a forward roll and see when you feel like the forward roll has gone too far. And do it one tune at a time and see what you come out with. And I think what you'll find is that places where you maybe are feeling a little bit of trouble getting your fingers around to get the notes you want, if you do this, you may find that you've both made the notes easier to play. Because like I said, once you start that pattern, you don't have to think about your right hand anymore. But also that you've made the placement of those very notes that you're struggling to put in the right place, you've made those notes more interesting in the context of the whole song. So that's what, you know, that's what Scruggs did with all those phrases. And the more you look into his playing, and you know, read through the tab in the book, and you'll see more and more examples of this. But it's a really good tool, and it's something that's one of these things in bluegrass banjo, this paradox where doing things in an easier way actually makes them more interesting. So take home and work on that. See what you come out with. So. And I'll take a question. Actually, it's after 4, so if you got some place to go, no. But I will see you around. Catch me after if you got questions.